Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We are going to be covering Outlander Season 8, Episode 2, Prophecies.
Prophecies. This is not nearly as cool as some of the, like, prophecies they were trying to do when they were in Paris. That's all I have to say. You know, like, they were trying to do all of this fake prophesying stuff.
With stakes? I remember stakes.
Yeah, sadly, it's not like that. But we have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. Pretty sure. There will be spoilers for Season 8 of Outlander. You are watching it with us, basically. So we are rolling along into Season 8, Episode 2. But obviously, you should be caught up with Outlander at least through Season 8, Episode 2, if you don't want to have anything spoiled for you. And we are having our, we are continuing our exploration. I'm really losing it here. Exploration of ginger-related drinks.
Yeah.
Because there's so many gingers on this show. And we're trying to see if we can have as many ginger drinks as there are gingers on the show. We should name them. Damn, I didn't even think about that.
Well, last one could be...
Ginger tea would probably...
Brianna. No, it should be something harder. Not
Roger.
Jamie.
Roger.
Roger's not ginger. He's brunette.
Sometimes they make him look more ginger. He has a gingery
beard. We could
do
that in honor of Jane, who's dead.
Jane, who's dead. There we go.
Who turned out to be like Auburn.
I guess.
Somehow.
If you say so.
And how much we miss her character and wish that she were a part of the season. Because when I was thinking about this episode in particular, and Jane would have fit right into like being like on the down low with like
some
this,
of the, yeah, some of the
Williams arc, I think would
yes.
still be just fine. And she could add a lot more to like having a dynamic without it just only being William. Like he would have someone to talk to instead of just like looking off into the middle distance and thinking about his situation. I think that she would have added a lot of an interesting perspective. She could get like more information about like his
from different sources.
And,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like she could be like the one who goes to like the seedy underbelly and brings the posh guy along
with
her.
We're getting so far ahead of ourselves, but I agree. I agree that she would have been a nice addition to this season. I actually kind of hope that they killed her off because they lost the actress. Like I hope the actress is doing. But I'm just thinking, like, the actress might be doing something amazing. Good for her.
I do hope that, but because she was good. But there's no way. You always assume it's an actor's conflict that makes the writing shit. And I'm just like, it's rarely that. There are some instances where it's like, all right, kill me off the show. I don't want to be on here anymore. And that's fine because you want to move on to different things or write me out the show. Let me do something else.
Dan Stevens. Downton Abbey.
Yeah. And, but I think in this case, she was only there for like half of the season.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she wanted to be in more.
One would hope. But you never know. Like the girl who played young Francesca was doing other stuff and, you know, whatever.
I think they just wanted to age her up in general. But anyway, let's get into Season 8, Episode 2, Prophecies. Let's begin with William's storyline.
Because it's the most interesting one.
That's the most interesting. There is an interesting element to the Jamie and Claire subplot in the, I call it a subplot. They're both, like, I guess it's the main plot, but there are interesting
elements to it.
You remember?
I know why you're interested now.
I think overall this episode, while unbalanced and again based like absolute ass, it's had some interesting ideas.
My ass has good pace. What are you talking about?
Ew. I don't want to think about that.
I'm just thinking, you know, dance stuff.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about, but sure.
I'm talking about, like, when you're dancing, does you know, shaking your booty and stuff, does your ass have good pace? Does it keep rhythm? You know,
So there's a flashback to William and his cousins talking about the army, and Ben has gotten his commission. And he's going to be going over. First, he's going to Boston.
He's a good-looking guy.
He is a good-looking guy.
And it's like, damn it, we don't have him.
All of the grays are hot.
It's a thing. It really is a thing.
It is a thing.
Yep.
Even the snooty uncle guy.
Yeah, although he's heavy, so whatever.
No. I wasn't talking about him. I was talking about
Oh, you're talking about
Lord
the
John
one
Gray's
who's.
brother.
No, okay. I don't. Maybe I'm not remembering correctly.
He's always in a wig.
That
The
could be it. Maybe it.
powdered wig.
Maybe he
But
looks
he was
older.
he did that thing for Jamie, and that was nice. Anyway, so he gives Ben as like, oh, it kind of like a Lady Mary to Matthew kind of thing of like, here to remember us by,
Yeah, he
kind
was.
of token to take into battle, as most people
It's a toy
do.
soldier.
It's a toy soldier that they used to play with as children.
And it has a specific name. I think it's named for one of a British general and oh, that always won or something like that. So
Yes, yeah, it does, but I didn't remember the name.
I don't either.
But essentially, what William is grateful for and what he loves about his two cousins, or at least the two cousins we meet, are that they made him feel welcome into the family, even though obviously I think that it's implied that they had an inkling about his parentage not being as
As
crystal
pure.
clean as it could have been, but they made him feel welcome anyway, even though it maybe some people in his family shunned him. Obviously not Lord John Grey or these cousins, but others in the
Yeah,
family.
I mean, I think they probably knew that like he might have been adopted or something like that. Anyway,
Something like that, but
the point
not
being
important.
that he was very close to them, and you get a sense of that closeness in this brief scene that we get to see.
So Henry, the cousin, the cousin who's alive, him and Mercy, Walter's widow from season 7, part 2.
Yeah, no, yeah, she's from part two, Walter's
He's
from
from
part
part
one.
one.
But yes,
We never saw them together, and I think it's just so that we don't question it when a sweet guy like Walter died, even though they kind of parted in anger, apparently. Whatever.
yeah, whatever.
Anyway,
So we
we're
don't need
not
to go
meant
that
to
far back.
like think
No,
about the
we'll let
dubious morals of that, but whatever.
Henry and Mercy are getting married. William goes to the wedding. Also, there is Brittany's
Lord John Grey
brother.
does not, and that's, I think, part of the reason why is because he had that whole like blow up thing about when he heard about the marriage of like, you realize how this is going to like you look to the rest of the family, and you realize that this is a faux pas and all
Well,
that
it's not
stuff.
just a faux pas, it's illegal at the time. And so it is a marriage on the down low. The minister who is overseeing the wedding is African American, and he talks about, someday this will be legal. And we're trying to
Crazy
get, like,
man.
they're trying to get something passed, I think, in Philadelphia to allow for interracial marriage. And I think Philadelphia actually did pass something a lot sooner than most other places did, but I don't recall all of the details of that right now off
Well,
the
for
top of my head.
Mercy and Henry's sake, I hope so. These fictional characters. So William begrudgingly tells Henry that Ben is dead.
He doesn't want to ruin the day, right? Like,
But
but Henry
Henry will
pushes
not
him.
stop asking him what's wrong. And honestly, me too, man.
Yeah,
If
I would too.
I knew something was up, it's like, hey, what's going on with you?
Yeah, no, I would too.
I would want to hear it regardless of what day it was.
Yeah.
But William promises that he's going to look into it and try to get more information. So he does. He goes to the patriotic camp, where he was dead. He died. And
Where we believe.
William's just allowed in, I guess.
Yeah, but there's no explanation for that, and it makes no sense. But he goes and he talks to the camp supervisor, somebody he's met before, and says, "Hey, I'm trying to find out what happened to my cousin. He was here as a prisoner." And the camp supervisor's like, "Well, people die, things happen, and as far as we can tell, he just died and was
Jail fever.
right." And so, and he has no specifics. But William pokes around for a little while and runs into and is like at the hospital trying to get like some memory.
We call it a hospital. It's literally
It's a
just,
tent.
yeah.
But
Oh,
these field hospitals are, that's all they are.
yeah,
So,
field hospital, yeah.
right. So the guy, one of the guys, the orderlies, I guess, you don't know if he's a doctor or what his position is, but he remembers Ben Gray, and or
How
Ben, whatever his
he
last name
had
is.
a turn for the better,
Right
and then he
before.
and that night, like he was off, the orderly was off duty, and supposedly, as he was told by his superiors, Ben died and was swiftly buried before he saw anything of his body or anything like that. So very suspicious.
Right. There are his personal effects, which include his uniform. And he had shown, Ben had shown William where he's going to keep the soldier, and the soldier isn't in the jacket. And William finds this suspicious.
What I love
It's because it's
about
not the kind
that.
of thing someone would steal, right?
No, yeah, but also I love the idea that like this random day he either forgot to put it in there after like cleaning it or something, or if Ben just simply lost it, it
Yeah,
would
he could have
be
lost it at any time.
like that is the funniest part of it. And like I love William's steadfast belief that no, that toy soldier I gave you like what 2 years ago
That would
is
be
still in
there.
your jacket, even though your jacket probably has changed and
Yeah.
it is very small and can be easily lost. I believe that you kept that toy soldier. And it's that steadfast belief that makes him dig up the
We're
guy's
gonna
gun,
exhume
barely
bodies
find the
now.
grave. And because he's shown Ben's grave, which again, it's insane that they like
Marked
took
it.
that much care to mark it.
I guess
But
because he was a very high-ranking person.
not in the American army.
No, but I mean, I think there is still that,
Respect, I
yeah, the
suppose.
respect, that kind of respect for the nobility of your opponent, like the rank of the opponent, I think matters during that period
Sure.
of time, even for the Patriots. So I don't think it's that
It's for
weird.
plot convenience,
It
whatever, it
is.
doesn't matter. And so he goes up in the middle of the night and pulls a Frankenstein and just simply digs up the guy's grave.
And it's not
And
Ben.
it's not Ben.
And we're like, yay, that's
But
the
also,
end.
that other guy is also dead. So it's
And
like, you know, that does suck.
his family does not know. So whatever.
Yeah, that really sucks for him,
It
though.
does suck for
And
him.
that implies, like you said, his fam that guy's family doesn't know.
But among the things that that you start thinking about is like, okay, well, where is he? Like, did he escape? There's a lot of, we don't see that on film, but we as the audience start to speculate, all right, did he escape? Is he trying to get back to
If he
his
escaped, why
wife?
would they lie about it? And
Yeah.
because I feel like if he were to have escaped, and again, we have only watched like up to this episode at this point of recording this, so we genuinely don't know, which I think is going to be a fun aspect of recording this. But I think, and just to show how wrong we are later on, but I think that if he had escaped in the middle of the night, which I'm assuming it
He
there, I think
probably
there
had
are
help, is
there
what
I
I'm
think that there
thinking.
are two options. Either he escaped with or without help, whatever. He got out of there and they were just too ashamed to admit that he escaped or something. I'm not sure. Or he was moved to a different camp for nefarious reasons.
That's possible. Or he's being used as a spy or something. I mean, they're
That's
kind of
also an
like,
option I didn't think about,
right,
this
like
whole
they were
spy
using
aspect.
William as a spy. That would be the kind of thing they would do for someone they were gonna use
He
as a
was high
spy.
ranking enough, I'm sure he was a
Yeah.
useful hostage if he was being taken as one.
Yeah. And but he may be trying to make contact with wife and child, assuming that they
Yeah.
are in fact his wife and child and not faking it. So,
Yeah.
there's a lot going on here that we don't,
Espionage.
yeah, well, there's still like a good death mystery, murder mystery, whatever, mystery mystery.
That
We
shit.
love that
So
shit.
I that's why I like this storyline in this episode,
Because
because
it's really the more interesting
it is.
of the two.
But just picture this. If Jane hadn't died, she would be, like I said earlier in this episode, she could be his like buddy just trying to help, like
This is a hyacinth thing here, isn't it?
she
Thanks
could
for
be the one
doing
coming up with the idea, oh, let's dig up the grave. And then he'd be like, that's desecrating a grave. It's like,
this.
well, yeah, but we want to know if it's your cousin, right? Like, that seems like a her influence on him kind of thing,
Yeah,
rather than
he's
William
not.
being like, let's desecrate a grave.
Yeah, he tends to be a little more
Straight
by the
laced.
rules, right? Like, but I
That's
think,
what made the dynamic so fun.
I'm maybe just even losing her has loosened that whole thing up for him, and he's
Yeah.
like friends with Jamie now
But
and
I genuinely
stuff.
think that it would be a very interesting plot of like, if again, like my pitch for like a different version of how last season ended for Jane is they help her escape and then they have to be on the run on the down low, like staying away from prying eyes. They can still have this Lord John Grey thing and the cousin and all that stuff. They can keep that plot. That's a fine plot. I don't mind it. And I think it's interesting. And but you can also have Jane along for the ride with William trying to help him because she feels indebted to him for her life, and she knows that I keep saying Franny, Fanny is safe with
Franny
his
makes more sense.
family and all that stuff. So I think that that makes a lot of sense, and they could end up at Fraser's Ridge at some point. Like, but I
Yeah, we
do
know that's
like
going to
this
happen.
mini plot as well.
Yeah, the downside to me of this mini plot is we're still not 100% sure where we physically are. Like,
That's also true.
we don't know if we're in Philadelphia, although it had to have to be close to Philadelphia because the wedding's in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So, that camp has to be there. And he was supposedly in a camp in New Jersey, which wouldn't be far from Philadelphia. So it's plausible that, he's in New Jersey, but where Lord John Grey and the cousin's wife are, no freaking clue.
Because the plantation with like the bright colors and all that stuff
That was
reminds me of something further south, but
right.
it doesn't give Philadelphia. You know, the other house that they had did. It was like a townhouse, but it was connected to other buildings. It was a whole thing. It looked like a city proper. This looks like a city
Not
that's
that.
further planned apart, you know, and made for the rich and wealthy and all that stuff. So I'm confused as well. I'm not sure where this is meant to take place. So yeah, I have no idea. But I do like this plot. I think that it's an interesting direction to take the character. I think obviously there, as I've pitched, there were even better ways to punch up this plot so that he actually has someone to interact with instead of like introducing a potentially introducing a new character for to help him or whatever. It could have been Jane, but you know, I can't have everything I want, and
I'm
that's how
certainly
life
not get
is.
everything I want. So yeah, we're all kind of screwed with that.
Anyway, let's go on to Claire and Jamie. So Claire, as we mentioned in the last episode, she's telling Fanny, "Hey, maybe don't mention that you were raised in a brothel." People
Yeah.
don't really understand that. They probably will have more preconceived notions about you if you mention that.
And they're
And
in a pretty strict religious, they're kind of straight-laced. Religiously, we've seen this before in that area of the ridge.
yes. So Jamie is freaking the fuck out about Frank's book, and he is like, "Hey, Roger, without giving you any more information, do you know of these men?" And names the people that he is supposedly fighting with in the battle of what's it called? Mount Caps, King's Mountain.
Oh, you wrote that down. Good for you. I did
I
not.
did write that down.
Good for you.
And Roger's like, "No, I don't recognize them at all." And Jamie's like, "Me either." And then Roger's like, "You realize that there could be other Jamie Frasers, right?" And he's just like, "Yeah, but I'm concerned because I think Frank had it out for me." And you know what? Makes sense. But
Yeah, I mean, we all know that, so yeah.
I also have would like to posit, obviously, like Frank told Claire not to keep looking at, after they left Scotland and went back to, well, no, they went to Boston afterwards. But it's really shocking to me that in both rounds of research gathering, like with Claire's research before she made that agreement, and in Brianna and Roger and Claire's search for Jamie in the 1700s before she went back in time, they didn't find any of what Frank found. Like, that again
Yeah.
makes no goddamn sense.
It really
They
doesn't.
had about the same number of resources.
Why wouldn't they have gone to his notes? Like
They
they
had more
can't have.
resources. Hell, it was the 60s compared to the 40s.
I got nothing.
It
I
makes me
got
upset.
nothing.
Doesn't
Oh well.
matter. Doesn't matter. But Roger's like, "No, I don't recognize these names. Don't worry about it. It might be another Jamie Fraser." And Jamie's like, "Oh, phew." So Captain Cunningham, who's the red coat turncoat, he shows up, and it's revealed that he's a Freemason. And I guess we're going
Yay.
back to that, I guess.
We are.
And Jamie wants to have a meeting of the Freemasons on the ridge. And I'm like, okay, cool. I thought
We
you wanted
haven't
to.
had one in a long
I was gonna
time.
say, you also want to distance yourself from the war, so you say. I don't know if having a Freemason meeting is really going to help you there, but do what you do. So Brianna and the girls being Lizzie, fuck, what's her name? Rachel. And
Rachel.
the widow, who is not a widow any, well, she is still a widow, but she is married again and all that stuff. The widow that Roger helped in season six. She, they're all picking berries. And I,
Yeah,
while
well,
we were
okay.
watching this,
Now, what you have to understand is
I will mention that
okay,
part,
thank
Mom.
you.
In the title card for this episode, they often show just random shit, like someone writing a letter or someone like doing some, like smithing some, a sword or
That is like a tangential thing in the later part of the
making
episode.
musket balls, like when they did the musket, gold musket balls things, all that stuff. So it tends to have something in general to do with it, but sometimes they also just show a bird. Or they or like another animal has nothing to do with anything. And so in this episode for that little title thing, they just showed a bear eating some berries. And I'm just like, okay, lock that away. And so these girls are picking berries, and I immediately pick up on the vibe that there's going to be a bear. And
Bear and
I
berries, you
just
know.
kept repeating bear attack, bear attack, bear attack, bear attack.
And sure enough,
Sure enough,
there
there's
is.
a bear attack.
Yep.
And as soon as someone strayed from the group, I was like, bear attack, bear attack, bear
And
attack.
it turns out that it is the widow. She's gone to like sit down because you're picking berries for a while and
Yeah.
she's tired. And so she is attacked by the bear is a really awful mauling.
It's
Brianna
bad.
tries to shoot the bear, but it misses. And Cunningham and Ian and Jamie hear the screaming and the shots and whatever, and they go to help. We don't see much of this part at all.
Yeah.
But
They get her back to the ridge. She's bleeding out. She's not going to make it.
Cunningham's not there though at the time.
No. He's off doing something else, which we find out later. And so essentially what's happening is she's bleeding internally. There's no way for Claire to really help her at this point. Her face is completely gashed and mauled, like half of her face, almost like a Phantom of the Opera move.
But with big slashy claw things.
Yeah, scary and
Awful,
and
painful,
it
visceral.
yeah, very. And so she is bleeding out, and the family, her family comes in, her new husband and her two kids, and they make the bath, well, not baffling, I understand why, but they he's just like, all right, come on kids, let's go say bye to mama. And because he gets the idea of like, okay, well, yeah, no,
She's
this is
not going to
it.
make it.
And
And they actually kind of say that. I mean, Roger, I think,
with
tells them,
looks, yes.
like,
And they go in, they say goodbye. It's very, very sad. She can't say anything because she blood is filling her throat and all that stuff. It's very, very ugh. It did leave an impact. It was,
And they're intended to,
yeah.
obviously.
Obviously, it's this. These aren't characters we know all that well, but I think that if they want, it had more impact than a general like medical procedure that Claire would typically do
That we've seen.
that we've
So,
seen so far.
part of what happens with this is that after she dies, Claire obviously stays to, clean the body and all of those things. But Brianna and Jamie and the husband of the dead woman and
The kids,
one of the
well, the
kids,
oldest
the
kid.
oldest kid, are like, let's go bear hunting
The
because
oldest kid is
we
like
can't have
10.
this, right? But they can't have this bear rambling through the ridge because someone else might be attacked.
Exactly.
So they are going to go hunt the bear. Jamie makes this big ritualistic, oh, it will be your bear. You will do the kill and blah, blah, blah. Tells them how to shoot a bear as opposed to shooting a deer and things. So it's all built up like this kid's going to shoot his first bear. But when they get to where they're starting to see signs of like bear tracks and whatever, they discover that Cunningham has killed the bear
Yeah,
by
he
himself.
instead of going and helping move the woman back to the ridge, he went and just followed the bear's tracks and killed him.
By himself, which apparently is quite difficult to do. I've never.
Apparently, yeah, of course it's difficult. That bear's
I mean,
huge.
it's a big old bear, and he said it took multiple shots, things, whatever.
Anyway, so that's interesting. I don't really know how to feel about that. It just kind of is the way it is. Rachel, meanwhile, is going into labor, and she just Ian is in a state where he still can't really believe that he's having the child. Like
He's excited but
he's
scared.
excited, but he also experienced two miscarriages along with his wife, and so he his first
Previous wife,
wife. And so he is still in that kind of disbelief. And also, this part that I mentioned this when he reconnected with Emily, who was his first wife, and the child back in season six, seven, part two, I think. And I was saying how that had so little. The impact of that is like so weird because it turns out he did have a kid with her and he didn't know anything about it and he's just like chill about it and not concerned at all. It kind of cheapens, not cheapens, it just takes away from the emotional journey that he had of getting over the miscarriages in his own way and also having a future with Rachel that could involve children. And so him having this emotion about the pregnancy makes a lot of sense. However, the added element of, oh yeah, I did have a kid with her, it's like, okay, well then you don't think you're the problem then.
I don't think he's actually thinking about that. I think he's just thinking about how hard it is to be a dad, like how hard it is to raise a child, and protect a
That's
child and
probably
that kind
part
of
of
stuff.
it.
And the conversation he has with Jamie after the baby's born, is basically that. And Jamie's like, you're getting to do a part of child rearing that I never was able to do for any of the children I fathered. True. I can't really give you advice, but I think you're going to be great because you're great at all the other stuff, which is fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a nice conversation.
They also like tease naming the child, but they don't tell us the name.
Yeah, they
So
have like some cutesy Augie, I think, is what they've been calling the baby when he was in utero, but they're going to pick some other name.
but we don't know what. Then a guy shows up at the ridge to talk to Jamie, and
He's
it's
clearly an
Benj
asshole. He's clearly
yes,
an asshole.
Benjamin Cleveland, who is mentioned in the book. And is one of the people who fights with Jamie against the British at
And
King's
Kingsman.
Mountain. And so Jamie's like, fuck. And so when Benjamin Cleveland's like, oh yeah, I hanged those loyalists. And I also want you to help us form a militia just for like the Northern Mountain Men people. And Jamie's like, thanks, but no thanks. And he doesn't take it the best, but he doesn't take it the worst. So he just kind of leaves Jamie alone. And Jamie's like, ooh. Dodge that bullet, literally.
But he's very clearly an asshole, and he's basically threatening, like,
He
what?
also said something about Cunningham not being trustworthy.
And
So,
was acting kind of like, hey, if he's a loyalist, maybe we should kill
well,
him.
yeah, I think that he. So Jamie's taking that as like, well, you hanged loyalists just for being loyalists. So
Yes.
I am. He's probably just assuming, okay, well, you don't trust that he's a turncoat fully. So, of course, you are suspicious of him.
Then
Anyway,
we have a Mason meeting.
and Cunningham has this long monologue about how his son, he feels really bad for like the guy who is now a widower because of the bear attack shows up at the meeting, and Cunningham's like, "Oh, I'm so I feel your loss, and I have felt the same way." I lost a child. He was at the Battle of Saratoga with me. I watched him die. He died in my arms, and I have to live with that every day. And but he also that was also the day he like converted to Catholicism, Christianity, something like
I
that,
don't know.
Protestantism.
I
Either
don't
way,
know.
saw God, and he also decided that he wants to follow God and not the British. rule, I guess. And so obviously
Jamie's
what this is,
skeptical.
obviously what this is setting up is Jamie fucking killed the son,
Yeah.
and so
There's
Cunningham
gonna be
is trying to
consequences.
get revenge in some way or another is the vibe that I'm getting.
Right.
And I think that that's it. If that's what they go with, I'm just like, well, that's obvious.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, what is Outlander not fucking obvious?
Also true. So yeah, we are that's pretty much the episode,
Oh,
isn't
well,
it?
no, there's a moment at the end of the episode
Oh,
where
we're playing
Jamie.
Jamie have sex because of the book. Yeah.
No, that's not the part I was referring to.
Oh.
He is trying to fuck his feelings away, but then when they eventually fall asleep, he hears, I guess it's Blackjack Randall's voice, but it's also Frank's voice, just saying, "Oh, you're going to die, you're going to die." So we got
Tobias
Tobias
Menzies.
Menzies back, or at
Yay.
least his voice. It might have just been taken from another season, but yeah, no, he's taunting Jamie in his head now, and
I got Jamie in my
so
head.
I guess they're just
Got
doing,
Blackjack in my
I guess
head.
they're just doing what they did
With
with Claire
Claire,
in
with all.
season six,
Except he's not on drugs. Jamie's
except
not
he's
on
not on
drugs.
drugs yet,
Lord.
and just doing it with Jamie. But I think with Jamie, it makes, I think it both times it makes some sense, but I feel like if they took a little too far with Claire.
They did. It's weird the way they did it with Claire. And
Yeah.
honestly, the about face where she's suddenly magically cured feels unnatural. Anyway, so that's pretty much the episode. What were your best parts?
Bear attack. I think that just
Natalie's
be,
all about a
be
bear
well, not be, just because I called it, but also
attack.
because I think it was impactful. And it, I, there is something I didn't mention about the bear attack. Brianna feels very, very guilty that she wasn't able to kill the bear,
Yeah.
as revenge, or at least
In
in
the
the
moment,
moment.
yeah.
And her hands are shaking. She's covered in blood and all that stuff. I'm glad we don't focus too much on Brianna for that part because it's not about her.
Right.
But I do like that we see that there was some impact on her other than, oh, let's just focus on the task ahead of us.
Yeah.
Rachel and Ian having their baby is nice. There's a Rolo mention as the bestest boy.
Oh yeah, they have a skin that they wrap the baby in, a wolf skin, or it looks like a wolf skin. I think it's
I
Rolo.
don't think it's
I
Rolo,
think it's
but
Rolo.
Rachel does mention if you had it your way, we would name him Rolo.
Name the baby Rolo. Yes. And I'm
His
like,
baby
Rolo's
boy.
the bestest boy.
Yeah. And William's potential story arc. I think that that's probably the most interesting Outlander has been in a while, and I think if they do it correctly or
And there
in the most interesting possible way.
I think what it is like there are a lot of ways to do the William storyline that are intriguing. You don't have to do it any one specific way to make it good.
Right.
Whereas like we all know what's going to happen with the Jamie arc, you know, like
Yeah, it's
we
bullshit.
yeah, so it
There are two ways that Jamie will end this season. Oh, three. There are three ways that Jamie could end this season. One, he actually does die at King's Mountain, and it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Or option two is that he doesn't die. Some other guy who is mistaken for Jamie
because he's
is
got like his
killed.
jacket on and maybe a
Yes.
little like
Has a name tag that says Jamie
Jane
Fraser
Fraser,
or
right?
something, and he survives, and him and Claire live the rest of their days at the ridge, keeping a low profile and not getting in any national
Headlines.
headlines.
Yeah.
Three, they go forward in time.
Yes.
I think that if they go forward in time, I think that is the ending I would prefer.
I'd love to see that. I don't think they're gonna do it.
I don't think they would do it because it would make people want another
Another
season.
season, yeah.
So I'm assuming it's going to be option one or two, but I think option three is a fun one as well.
Yeah.
As far as potential arcs for
William?
William, I think that the spy arc could be an interesting one because, again, I'm all for testing William's morality and
His loyalty,
his
yeah,
loyalty to
I
the
mean.
crown, and that obviously was shaken at the end of last season. But again, if they kept doing a lot, it could be shaken even more.
Yeah,
And
could be.
him being in direct opposition to what the British cause or the powers that be want him to do. So I think spy arc could be interesting. I think that if his cousin escaped and he has to meet up with him and they have to travel back and to get him reunited with his family, and that will make him feel complete as a human after like not being able to do the same for Jane. That's also a nice enough arc. It feels complete. Yeah, I think those are the top two for me right now, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm not going to speculate about it because I have probably four or five that are possible in my head
You have
that
a
could
favorite?
work. No.
Okay.
And that's part of it is like, yeah, I just feel like there are a lot of ways that this could go that would be fun to watch. So that's why I'm kind of like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
And different because this show has become very rote in many ways.
All right, so what are your best parts?
My best parts are, or what I wrote down, Ian and Rachel and the baby. I think that's wonderful. I love the wedding. I'm doing all the girly stuff because I like girly things.
Oh, the wedding was very sweet. I forgot
I
about
really
that.
like the wedding. I like, and I really like, I didn't write this down. I really like William being on this quest. I was complaining, as listeners who are regular listeners may recall, I was complaining about how a bunch of these Star Wars movies that we had watched in our last interim series can be kind of like a scavenger hunt. This isn't like that. And it's not like that because you don't have a specific, like, oh, this is going to lead, this is the map that's going to lead you to wherever. You don't have a specific place that you're going. You don't know what has happened to Cousin Ben. And so there are possibilities that it could have happened with Ben. We've already talked about the things that we've thought of. I think it would be interesting to see, you know, if maybe Ben's wife is part of the spy conspiracy or something. I mean, you know, there are definitely some interesting possibilities involved here, and it might be just, you know, fun to watch it unfold rather than predict it. Or at least in this moment. So those are the things I liked. What were your worst parts?
Amy dying, I think that was her name.
Mm.
That's sad. It's gruesome. We didn't really get to know her as she was
Yeah,
after marriage and all that stuff. Like, she seemed cool, but.
we failed to mention that the mean old lady who is Cunningham's
Oh, yeah, she kind of
relative.
took over funeral arrangements at
Yeah,
one point.
she was really into like scrubbing the body and
But
getting
her
scrubbing
and
the sin
Claire,
away.
her and Claire are now on first name basis, so we're.
Yeah, they're friendlier.
Her first name's Elsbeth.
Yeah, I part of what we heard in that story, and I think that this may end up being something that they try to make interesting. I don't think it's going to be interesting, but they're going to try to make it interesting that she had lost multiple husbands and multiple children, so she's buried a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you get the sense that maybe she was involved in killing some of them. Hard to say, or
That
they
could be
didn't, or they
cool if they
treated
actually
her
go then.
badly, or something along those lines.
Well,
But
they always go with the treated her badly plot.
right, but which
I
fine
want
that.
her to be the crazy one. Sure.
But they also, you know, it may tie into like some kind of revenge plot. Like she's part of a revenge plot on Cunningham's behalf. Like she's trying to gain information, like on, hey, you know, this is how you could get to
Be
the
the woman on the
Frasers.
inside.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
I don't think she started out really well by slapping a child, but you
no.
know. Either way,
I agree.
could be an obvious twist with Cunningham. I think what could be like it's so clear to like it's so obvious. It's not even like a red herring. Like if they want it to be a twist, like the setup is fine for like if you don't want to really think about it all that much. Like I think that him having a vendetta against the person who killed his son in front of him is fine enough, and if that it does turn out to be Jamie, that being like okay, well, that's an interesting plot, but I'm it's ob most simultaneously ob obvious, and I also don't want to believe that it's true because what I think would be kind of interesting as well would be well, no, that actually wouldn't happen, but it. Could be like, oh, well, actually, I'm on the search for somebody else who he doesn't know exactly who killed his son, but he's on the search, and then he finds out it's Jamie or whatever. But I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's pretty obvious the way they're setting it up, but I'm willing to let it happen and unfold and see what happens after that.
Well, and of course, he may be the person who leads whatever attack on the King's Mountain thing. And Jamie's not there, but has like his jacket there or something. Yeah, who knows?
I don't know.
There are going to be sub elements of this, but because the overarching storyline is boring or predictable or, just something we've more or less seen before, it won't be as compelling as, other storylines may be. What grade did you give this episode?
B minus. It's an improvement on the last episode.
Oh, wait, I didn't give my worst parts.
Oh,
Dang.
sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my fault. The Blackjack Randall voice in the head, I don't like that. I think it's stupid. And again, much like things we've seen before. And William actually exhuming the
Oh,
body,
that was crazy.
it
Again,
was
I think he made
pretty.
a bad influence telling him to do that instead of him just
Yes.
automatically being like, all right, let's
Yeah,
do
it
it.
seems unlikely that William would have come up with that one on his own. But
That's crazy.
anyway, so what grade did you give this?
A B minus.
I gave it a B minus also.
I think it's an improvement on the last episode. I also think that it's a good positive trend upwards for the show. According to what I have seen on Facebook, because my Facebook feed is full of Outlander, it
Yeah.
does not continue on the up and up, apparently. But I don't know why. I just know that that is the general opinion at this point, or at least of the people in my feed. So I enjoy it while it lasts, I guess. I don't remember the last time that we gave something in Outlander, like a B something or other. It's been a while. It's
It
been
has
like
been a while.
C's galore with D's and all that
Yeah, I mean,
stuff.
we'd have to go back and listen because I don't keep all of my notes. But it
Let's not even start on the A range, Jesus.
it's been a long time since there's been an A
Back to
episode
the
on
B's is a
Outlander.
good thing. And I
Yeah,
think
I
that
agree.
as long as they don't, like, again, the worst thing that Outlander can be for me is boring. And
And or just
a
like the
bear attack
same
is not
shit.
boring.
No, and it's something that, they had bear attacks when they first got to the
Do
ridge.
you remember that fuck ass
Fake bear.
buffalo attack
Oh yeah, the
that like
buffalo.
threw Brianna up in the air, but she was just fine and got up?
Yeah.
Like, that is completely the opposite of what this bear attack was.
Right. And it was a little bit scary with the guy dressed up as a bear, but
Yeah,
not,
oh
it wasn't
God.
quite the same.
Forgot about that.
I like the actual wild, the unpredictability of a bear, killing somebody, which I think is a lot more like what you would have seen in that time period, is an interesting addition, if brief, for the show. So anyway, and it's not just another disease like wiping out people and making Claire have to, do stuff. Anyway, we have much, much, much more of season 8 of Outlander to come. And we are going to explore more ginger drinks. So we hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.